Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together, we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into kingdom pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
Well, I am live, but I'm not Robbie. I do need your prayers. Robbie is in the hospital with his father. His father had an accident yesterday and fell out of his wheelchair, and they're afraid may have broken a bone in his neck. So I would highly encourage you to pray for Robbie's father and Robbie today. Robbie called at 6 o'clock this morning and asked if I would be willing to stand in. So you've got the B team, but on the other side, we've got the A team as far as guests go this morning. We've got Roy and Will, and Roy and Will have set up a wonderful program called Talking and Walking Christians Men's Fellowship. It's a way for men to come together and to explore their faith journey with each other, to strengthen each other in their walk, to iron sharpens iron. And Robbie's had Roy on many times. Roy is set up this ministry with the help of Will, and they've got a summit coming up that they'd like to share with us. Roy, would you please share a little bit about how you came to set up this ministry? How long ago was it? What transpired? Why is there a Talking and Walking Christian Men's Fellowship?
Yeah, thank you, Bill. As most organizations start, there's always a personal component and a heart position about it. For me, I was one of those men who had been a Christian since being a teenager, got saved as an early teenager. But I never quite understood what the father-son relationship was about. Hence, I didn't know what it meant to be the right husband or the right father in my own family. And God put a wake-up call on my heart in 2005 and just asked the question, what have you done for the kingdom? And at that point in time, I couldn't really put anything measurable out in front other than people knew I loved the Lord and I loved my family, but I hadn't been leading my family properly, nor had I been leading my children properly to the foot of the cross. So as a result of that, God got to work on my heart. I just basically turned it all over to Him. I had a great mentor that came alongside of me for several years, for about 10 years. Keith Carroll started with me in 2005 and have had many other men that have been impactful in my life through that journey. So as a result of that, we decided that, you know, there were other men in the same position. A lot of men are sitting on the sidelines, Bill. So that's where it all started. We said, well, let's do something about the people that are on the sideline. It's not that men don't want to do it. I think oftentimes they don't know quite how to do it. And as we talked through the show this morning, we talked a little bit about the alignment and where God's got our hearts about that as well and how the creation started.
Well, Robbie was right. You're just absolutely the perfect guest. That you are just smooth and all together, and it's just a joy to be here with you. Now, I wish I had been smart enough to ask Pastor Will what his last name was. Pastor Will, what is your last name?
Hardy.
And you have a church in Greensboro?
Yes. We have a small fellowship, True Worship Community Church.
True Worship Community Church. And where do you meet?
We meet off of East Bessemer in Greensboro, and it's on 1040 West Side Drive.
And do you have a web page for your church?
No, we don't.
We don't, but if anybody's interested in your church, they can check the station's web page, and Robbie would just be thrilled to help get you two connected up. Now, does the Talking and Walking Christian Men's Fellowship, does it have a web page?
We do. It's actually TAWCMM, Bill. It's actually Talking Walking Christian Men's Ministry, TAWCMM.com. And we've got the event links there as well. It's a little bit of history and my story on there as well, and then some more information about our organization.
So we can go to Kingdom Pursuits on Facebook or Kingdom Pursuits on the web and find out a little bit more about the ministry, or we can contact Robbie, and he'd be glad to get the information out there. Pastor Will, how did you get involved in this?
Well, I got involved, Bill, when Roy and I, we worked together. And in working together, apart from the ministry, we sort of just came together, and Roy asked a question when we were sitting in a meeting one day, are you a brother in Christ? And I said, yes. He didn't know me. I didn't know him. And then from that point on, we began to just fellowship together, and he invited me to come to some of the meetings that the ministry was having, the dinner and some of the other activities that were involved. And then one thing kind of led to another, and here we are working together for the purposes of making sure that all men are equipped and in their proper role, understanding what their proper role is for the kingdom of God.
Mm. Wonderful. Now, evidently, you've got a regular weekly meeting.
We have, it's a bi-weekly, Bill. We do every 2 weeks. Well, the first and third Fridays actually on Friday morning. Our host site, First Christian Church in Kernersville, they're on North Main in Kernersville, host a full breakfast for us. And we have a hard start at 7 a.m. and we have a hard stop at 8 a.m. so that men can get in, get fed spiritually and physically, and then get off to work and still make it on time. So we don't very calculated with our start and stop times. And we've got men from all churches in the area that come to join us. We always have a great message, and it's an interactive time as well. We figure men get preached at on Sundays, so we want them to have an opportunity to give some thoughts to their own walk and journey back to the group, because everybody grows from each other through that process.
Now, Robbie was telling me that you have some really great guest speakers that come in, and then he rattled off a bunch of names, and it was 6 a.m. So would you like to share with me some of the, or the, with the audience, some of the folks that you've had come in to address your group?
Sure. Well, I guess we do a dinner as well, which we haven't mentioned yet. We do a dinner every 2 months on a Thursday night. And so depending on the event and the venue, who will have come in. But we've had some professional wrestlers come in. Nikita Koloff has been in to speak with us. We've had some professional football players in the past. Johnny Evans, from most of the Wolfpack fans will recognize that name, played at NC State and also for the Cleveland Browns. And then also Pat Tigg, former teammate from college that played for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, in with us. On our larger events, we've had we're blessed last year to have Dr. Tony Evans come join us.
Wow!
Yeah, that was a phenomenal event. We've had General Boykin from Black Hawk Down. He's spoken several times. We've had Stu Weber, author of Tender Warrior and Four Pillars of a Man's Heart, great speaker and author. We've had Judge Paul Newby join us. Supreme Court Justice Paul Newby be with us on multiple occasions. The list goes on. We've just been blessed. God's really aligned some really unique people in our lives through this journey, and there's probably some that I've failed to mention, but please forgive me for that. But there's been just a great lineup. It's all been God's alignment.
I think I hear God saying that you need to set up another program in Winston that's close enough for me to get to every 2 weeks. It's awesome. I mean, just a tremendous ministry. You've got a summit coming up. You want to tell the audience a little bit about your summit?
Sure. The way this started was actually a part of the conversation with Judge Newby several years ago. We said, you know, since Promise Keepers went away, you know, several years back, there's not really been a lot of gatherings for men. There's been some out there, but we just felt in our particular area, more at a regional level, that we should do something to pull men together and get some speakers at a level that would bring some attention to the kingdom and get them in to talk to men about what men's roles are, back to what Will had mentioned earlier about the proper role that God's got us positioned for. So this event, each time we bring men in, and it's like nothing different than a football game or some sort of super match, if you will, that you're coming in to get taught, fed, challenged. You're put to limits and questioned about things that you probably didn't think about through the normal workday. But when you walk out of there, a hope and goal is that men will indeed get motivated to start serving at a higher level. And if they'll get in proper alignment with God, Bill, that's our heart, is that then everything else will fall in line behind that. Too often we as men, Will's heard me use this phrase quite often, is we're crisis management Christians. You know, we love the Lord and we'll die for our cause, but we don't depend on God daily. In the small things as much in the big things. And by that, I mean, when we get into a crisis, we seem to get much closer to the Lord because we need his help more and more prevalent in our future and the situation we're in that moment.
Well, this is absolutely fascinating. Robbie was a key figure in my life in a small group like this, and was the reason I ended up helping every so often on the radio. And I know that it's wonderful to have some men in your life that you can reach out to. We want to hear more about this. We want folks in Kernersville to be a part of this wonderful ministry. So please stay tuned. are so glad that you've tuned in to Kingdom Pursuits. Kingdom Pursuits is a show that tries to encourage people to put Christ first, to put boots on the ground, to remember that we're supposed to be a light on the hill and a time of refreshing to those around us, that if we've got Jesus in our heart, that we're an ambassador for Christ, and that we should look for opportunities to make a positive difference in the lives around us, starting with our families, starting with our spouse and our children, and reaching into the community at work and the neighbors around us. How do we find a way to get connected and to show Christ through us? I know that there was a time right after I met Robbie that I was in a small group that met every week, and we had men from numerous different backgrounds, but it was a place that I could go and learn more about Jesus. And when my wife called me and said our daughter had leukemia, that was the group that I picked up the phone and called and said, guys, I need your prayers. I need your help. I need to know that you're there for me. And I knew they were there for me, but I knew that they were praying for me, and it gave me the strength and the ability to be able to be a stronger father for my daughter and a stronger husband for my wife. So I commend you, gentlemen. I know that in my life that there have been a couple groups like this that have made a really big difference to me. And I understand. How long have you had this program up and running?
Well, we've been meeting as a group of men probably about 7 years, Bill, I guess, in totality. We set up the nonprofit 2 years ago, and this will be our fifth annual summit that we were just talking about a few moments coming up here in just a couple of weeks.
Now, what is this summit?
It's called the Men's Summit. We bring several guest speakers in to kind of recharge men, get them rejuvenated for the year. And our hope is that when they come out of this meeting that they've adapted some principles and some concepts and some challenges in their spiritual walk that they can go back and put into place to improve their relationship with God first, and then which will ultimately improve their relationship with their wife and their children and their coworkers and in their communities.
Now, Will, you were talking about the four pillars. Would you share with us a little bit about the four pillars? And then you said there were some other principles that you use to encourage the use of those four pillars.
Yes, Bill. The four pillars, we seek to have men equipped. We want them equipped with the necessary tools and resources that they need in order for them to take these resources and not just let them be something that we just discuss within a meeting, but take them outside the four walls and then begin to expound with this equipped knowledge to smaller groups, to their family, or to their local church. And with that, they can understand and begin to build within themselves and internalize those things that they need in order to be that leader within their household. And then we have them engaging, after you're equipped, then go out and engage the community, be proactive and not reactive to situations once you are equipped with the necessary tools, knowledge, and information to take you to that next level. And then we want to educate them and edify them. So educating and edifying is lifting up, and educating is doing what we do with respect to information regarding the scriptures. And the support items that we were referring to is anytime a man has issues, we want to be able to deal with them right away. But in some instances, we must have patience. So patience is one of the P's that we look toward. The next one is persistence. So being persistent in your ability to take the Word of God out and to ensure that when you take the Word of God out into the community, into your church, that you are not giving up when something becomes difficult, but yet look for a resource, plug back into the ministry, give us a call, text us, email us,
right,
so we can get you pointed back in the right direction. And then next, each man has to be passionate, has to have a passion for what he's doing. And we hope through the persistence of keeping moving in that forward direction that this passionate desire for Christ begin to grow within himself so that he can be that shining light out there to his community. And finally, to be able to persevere. And persevering, is of course, is enduring. Mm. We have to be able to endure all of the hardships, all of the necessary issues and obstacles that's going to come our way as men, and be able to know that God is still in control regardless of what I'm going through.
That's good, Will. And Bill, back to your comment earlier about when your daughter was diagnosed with leukemia, and we've shared with our men many times, it's not a matter of if you're going to go through a season, it's when you're going to go through a season, and what is that season going to be like. As we know, we go through the desert, as a friend was talking this week. If you've got that fellowship, if you've got that fellowship with a group of men and basically your soldiers in arms, if you will, beside of you, because every man needs that support network somewhere in their life, if not every day of their life. And I've got friends that are going through battles right now, and close friend that's fighting cancer, and I've got some others that are dealing with some other issues that are home, and just as we all have friends that are going through it, and each of us have been through those kind of things. But without that network, first, without God, I don't know how people get through it. Second, without that network of men to pray for you and hold your arms up through the journey, it would be a very lonely process without it. And it's through those men that we strengthen each other. And that's the whole concept of our ministry, is a fellowship and a community. And one of the key things, Bill, we found in doing research and talking with people, if you ask me, and I shared this with our breakfast group yesterday morning, the number one element of men post-college into their work careers and throughout most of their life that's on their heart and mind is loneliness. And you say, well, hey, Bill, who's your best friend? 9 out of 10 men would say, well, it's going to be somebody back from high school. It's going to be somebody back from their college football team or their college baseball team or somebody they served in service with that they hadn't seen maybe in 10 or 15 years, but they still consider them their best friend. Now, some of us have done a better job at connecting through life, but as we get to be adult men, we're not expected to need other men. You know, society has told us that, hey, you don't need someone else. You're supposed to fix the problem. You're supposed to carry the load. And I think that's part of why we lose that intimacy with each other. That's part of why we break the intimacy with God until we get into crisis control, as we mentioned earlier.
Now, my best friend is, and I'm sure you two would say the same thing, our best friend is Jesus. Now, mm-hmm. After my best friend, Jesus, my wife comes in as my best friend. And then after that, I need some folks that I can pick up the phone and call, because right. There are things you just can't say to your wife.
Right.
Yeah, and there are things that you need help trying to decide, how do I explain this to my wife?
Exactly.
And to have that group is just awesome. You know, we talk about not putting a false face on. We talk about not walking around with a mask. But you know, in my walk, I'm a little bit different at work than I am in other places.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm a little bit different at church than I am other places.
Wow.
You know, there are just some things that I don't know everybody in those
right. Situations.
I can't trust everybody in those situations. I mean, the people at work I work with, some of them I love, and I'd be glad to share any. And there's some that I'm just, you know, I can't share stuff with. I don't know how it's going to be twisted or turned.
Right.
And at work, unfortunately, there are people at church that
same way.
To have that small group or larger group of men that you've heard them share their heartfelt stories, to share their fears, to
right. Share
their worries, to be able to go to that group and they know enough about me that I can say, man, I need to get down on my knees and share with you, and I need you to help me figure out how to deal with this, because a lot of the problems we have in life is that we can't think about them clear enough that we can talk to ourselves about them.
Mm.
We can't articulate to ourselves what this. You ever heard the story about the blind men that find the elephant in the middle of the trail, and one of them has hold of the tusk, and one of them has hold of the trunk, and one of them has hold of the tail, and one of them has hold of the leg, and a little bit later they all get in this great big argument because one of them says, man, the elephant's just like a tree. He says, no, an elephant's just like a giant snake. No, an elephant's just, we have different perspectives and we don't see the entire problem. But when we have men in our lives that have gone through similar problems, they can reassure us that none of the problems we go through in life haven't been solved by hundreds of thousands of people before us.
Exactly.
And that if we've got that prayer team that's bringing Jesus into our life and helping us say, look, this might seem scary to us right now, but if we can sit down and talk about it and write it down and sort of figure out exactly what the big picture is. You know, Ford said there's no problem so complicated if we don't break it down into small enough pieces.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And your group just sounds like the most awesome place to go to build those relationships with some knowledgeable, godly men to be able to share those concerns. Plus, there's this wonderful feeling to be able to make a difference in other people's lives, to hear them share with me some small way or large way where I can help them through a difficult, dark time in their life and then be able to look back on it. I always think about that our growth in our spiritual walk is a circle that spirals up. And if we feed off the answered prayers of those that we meet with on a regular basis, then we grow in our faith so much faster than if we're just dependent on seeing God answering those prayers in our own life.
Amen.
And when we come back, I'd like to hear some of those stories that you've seen where people in your group have been able to grow in their spiritual walk. Thank you for being here. Yeah. Thank you for tuning in. Well, we're so glad that you tuned in to Kingdom Pursuits. Kingdom Pursuits is a show about how to put boots on the ground, how to find a way to be that ambassador for Christ. And we've got some guests on this morning that are talking about just an awesome group that if you're in Kernersville or close to Kernersville, it certainly looks like a wonderful opportunity to meet some other men and to strengthen your relationship with our Creator. And Will was going to talk to us a little bit about some of those instances where their members have made a great difference in the lives of some of the other members.
Yes, Bill. About two summits ago, we, within our prayer room, because we have a prayer room where men can come and pray with other men in between speakers. And we had one young man come in, and he said, I desire prayer because this device that I have in my hand, and he had a cell phone. He said, this is probably one of the worst things that's in my life right now. And I asked him to expound on it. He said, well, you know, it's because I can get access to so many things that are not appropriate. And he said, I need prayer in reference to this. And he said, it's really plaguing me. I'm in a relationship. I don't want to take this into my relationship. I want it just done away with. And so men who were in the prayer room, we gathered around and we prayed for him. And as we were praying, he was opened up to God and began to pour his heart out in reference to his situation and how he wanted to just get rid of this that was on his back that he was carrying. And so about 4 or 5 months after that, he did call because we shared our contact information with him. And he said, God has freed me. He said, God has freed me from this addiction.
Amen.
And we were so overwhelmed and we were so enthralled. And God just showed us right then that this is something that as you take it forward, this ministry, that there are so many other people whom we're going to come in contact with. So many people who have stories like that, individuals who are working so much that they're neglecting their family life. They're neglecting that time with their wife and seeing their children grow up because they have this overarching stigma that has been put on by them in society that they have to do all of these things, and then they're measured by their worth and not measured by how God looks at us. Mm. And this is what we should be measuring ourselves by how God looks at us. So those are just one account, and then a second account of a man working and neglecting his family, where we can see that there's been so many joyous moments that God has shown how effective the ministry is moving forward, and so many men out there who needs to be touched, who want to share their story, because it's difficult for men to share their stories with men. It's much easier for women to share their stories with each other. You encounter a man, and it's like, if I share something intimate with you, but women, they can never know each other for a long time, meet together and start talking about shoes or purses or things like this, and it could lead into just a general relationship. Mm. Whereas with men, it's difficult because we have that wall up. Mm-hmm. So those are a couple of accounts.
Roy, are there some instances that you can remember where a life-changing transformation happened between two or more of your members?
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Bill. With the retreats that I was sharing offline with you that we do, we've been doing a men's retreat every February up in Valley Crucis, and that comes to mind as well.
Now, is that the old conference center with the wires still on the outside of the wall?
It is.
That's a beautiful place. It's unbelievable. Hike up to the falls is gorgeous.
It's gorgeous. You know the exact place.
I know.
It's a man's place, right? It's rustic. It's got creaky all wood floors.
Yeah, my wife would not stay in those rooms with the exposed wires on.
Yeah. But Bill, it's they're so numerous when you think about. Over the years, and I never focus on the past, but it's a great question. We've had marriages change. We've had men that have been released from addictions. We've had men that have saved their marriages as a result of what God has done in their life through either the summit or the mountaintop experience, or even some of these meetings on Thursday night. You know, you mentioned something earlier, which I want to touch on as well. I think it's important for men that if we think about our walk with Christ as being an example of what being a Christian is about, and people are looking at us, and especially once you've declared that you are a follower of Christ, how you behave and how you react and how you walk is watched more closely than if you had never said anything. Because people know that Christians are expected to behave different.
Well, people like to put you in that box of hypocrites that they get to use for not going to church.
Exactly. That's another one of the excuses. So part of our journey within the ministry is to say, look, guys, your face and your behavior should look no different Monday through Saturday than it does on Sunday. The person that I see on Sunday should be the person I see Monday through Saturday. So that's what we challenge each other to do through this journey. But in answer to your other question, Bill, we've had the ladies that have actually shared testimonies in churches on behalf of how God has worked through the gatherings and through the events to change their families, to change their marriage, to change the relationship with their children. And one thing we've tried to practice and instill in all of our men is a sense of confidentiality, so that, you know, if you share something, it's a very generic sense such that there's no one knows, and we don't talk about any details without the permission of anyone that's been involved. But, and that's the other thing too, to what you were mentioning earlier with accountability in small groups, is that ability to be open, but also to know that it's not going outside those three or four men that you're talking to, that they hold it. And my wife sometimes asks me if I've been on a meeting or how it goes, it went well, and can't give any details, and I don't give any details because I'm protecting that confidence of the brothers in Christ that had those needs. We've had men that have been on the verge of checking out, literally. That God has used a meeting or a phone call or a relationship to turn them back and walking hard for the Lord now instead of leaving us. We've had people that were in middle situations with content, as Will mentioned, that have turned back and gotten back in line with God and are leading fruitful lives now and building the kingdom. They're so numerous when I try to think about that. It's if it's something anyone has struggled in your life that you know of, there's somehow that God has touched somebody in that journey on the through this ministry and through the men around this ministry. And I want to just commend all the men that are part of this too, Bill. That's Roy just happens to be the captain of the ship, so I get to steer the rudder, and Will's part of that team, as there are many others, which we haven't mentioned. But more importantly, there's a group of men that make up this body of Christ that are the people that make things happen. And I've just been blessed to be able to lead for a while, and I'm just going to make sure that when he calls me home that I don't have as many regrets as I would have had a few years ago had he called me home.
About how many men do you have show up at your every two-week breakfast?
We'll have 30, 35 guys that are there consistently, and then we'll peak over 40 on some Fridays. The breakfast has just been going on 2 years on the breakfasts, and we're just now starting to get the momentum. But it is open to all men from any area that they can get to, whether it's High Point, Greensboro, Winston-Salem. Kernersville centrally located, and we're not far off the highway there, so it's pretty easy to get to if they choose. People say, I can't get up so early to be there at 7. I get up every morning at 4:30, so I'm one of those guys that getting up early doesn't bother me. So
an overachiever.
Not at all.
We've heard about people like you.
It's just more that the body aches from the days of sports, so I don't need to lay in the bed too long, that's all.
And then you've got a monthly meeting every other month.
Meeting? We'll do a dinner, which is what we call – we'll do it at different churches. We'll let different churches host, so we kind of move it around. And we're working on a neutral location because we're finding that through the observations of some of our other brothers, that it tends to be whatever church we're at, we get a higher percentage of attendance than if we're moving around to a neutral point. So we're going to go to a neutral point. We do a guest speaker every 2 months, and we're actually going to do a workshop coming up in March related to multi-ethnicity conversations that's going to be led by Santis Beatty, back to our goal of breaking down the walls of race and denomination. So,
now, did I hear you had a service project or that you were supporting some
effort? Just this fall, we did our first community project. We had worked at what's now Crossnore in Winston-Salem, which used to be, I think, the North Carolina Children's Home. And I think at the last show with Robbie, I'd shared a little bit of a story about our daughter that we had adopted a few years back from Crossnore up in the mountains. But we had a work day on a Saturday, which was phenomenal. We're going to do four of those this coming year to go over and help them. They've got I think it's a 170-acre farm there that's constant need of maintenance and upkeep. So we're going to spend 4 days this year over helping with them at different Saturdays throughout the year.
Share a little bit about the adopted daughter. That sounds interesting.
Well, in 2012, God had put on my heart that we hadn't finished the adoption journey, which my wife had brought up to me 3 years before. And so we decided to explore what that would look like. So we contacted Crossnore, which she had been exposed to, my wife, earlier. And when we contacted Crossnore, they opened the doors and God took it from there. And our daughter was originally orphaned at birth from the Ukraine, and she would been brought to the U.S. by her adopted mother, who later died when my daughter was age 10. So that was kind of the journey she was on. God woke our hearts up, said, hey, I need you to go to do something. And we did it. And now this young lady has a family for a lifetime and brothers and sisters for a lifetime.
That is awesome. I just thoroughly enjoyed learning about this ministry and all the opportunities. You need a satellite program in Winston-Salem where they need to fix our roads a little bit better.
There you go.
And we're going to talk a little bit more about the opportunities when we come back. But I want to ask everybody to lift up a prayer for Robbie's father and Robbie's family. Mm-hmm. We want you to pray for the Truth Network. We're so glad that you've tuned in to Kingdom Pursuits. Kingdom Pursuits is a Truth Talk Network show that's designed to encourage people to get off their sofas, to turn the TV off, and to go out into the real world and experience life in such a way that folks know that we're Christians, that we are involved in our neighbors' lives and involved in the lives of the people that we work with and involved with the people that we come in contact with, that we take seriously the charge that we are ambassadors for Christ and that we've got a responsibility in a loving and caring way to share our faith in Jesus Christ with those that we come in contact with. You might be in one of those vibrant churches that is growing rapidly, or you might be in one of the churches that has a whole lot of empty space in the pews. They have done research and found that in North Carolina, 25% of your adult neighbors have never, ever once been in a house of worship. 50% of your neighbors, my neighbors, our neighbors, when asked, do not belong to a denomination or a congregation. Most of the people that you come in contact with, a little over 50%, only attend church three times or less in a year. Wow. Well, we've got a responsibility to let people know that there's a reason that we tune into a Christian radio station. There's a reason that we get up and go to a church meeting during the week, that there's a reason that we open our Bibles and we read and that we try to memorize a little bit of Scripture, that there's a reason that we pray to our Creator. There are lots of people out there. I mean, we're in church. We don't realize how many people's cars are sitting in their driveway. We assume that the people that we're coming in contact know what having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is, and in many cases, we're wrong. And if we don't share that knowledge of Jesus with others, who's going to? You know, it's said for everybody that accepts Jesus Christ that they had seven opportunities to understand what it is to accept God's offer to become a child of His. Seven opportunities before they finally end up doing it. We are not called, we are not responsible to lead anybody to Christ, but we are responsible to be one of those seven opportunities where somebody has the opportunity to understand that our Creator is real, that His Son came to die on the cross so that we had the opportunity to shed ourselves from our sins, that we have a Father in heaven who loves us, who has plans for us, not to harm us, but plans for hope and a future. That our Father in heaven, Jesus said He came so that repentance and forgiveness of sins would be preached in His name. That our Father wants to not only forgive, but forget our repentant sins. And that is a concept that's lost in a lot of the people that we come in contact with. There are folks that have grown up in families that don't understand what love is. And to be a part of a men's group where you have people where you can pick up the phone and call and say, man, I need help. I need prayer. I need advice. It's awesome. It gives you the opportunity to pray for big things and to expect wonderful things. When you get to hear other people talk about how God made a difference in their life, an answer to prayer, solved a problem, it makes it easier for you, for me, to ask for those big things. Because Jesus says we got a daddy in heaven who loves us, who provides for us. Well, if we don't see God providing for us, then it's hard for us to pray believing. But when we see God making wonderful difference in the lives of the men around us that get around and pray for each other on a regular basis, we get to feast off that knowledge that our daddy loves us. So when we pray believing for ourselves in small groups, for other people praying, and we see a miracle in the lives of them, we grow in that relationship with our Creator so much faster than if we try to live our life on our own, when we try to make it through those difficult times without help. Because there are an awful lot of times when we look back, we give ourselves credit for those things that God did. And when we're in a group of believers with brothers who remind us, hey, man, you know, we've been praying for you for 2 weeks. How come you quit asking about that? Well, that problem's not there anymore. Well, have you been giving the glory to God for that problem that God solved? No, I just replaced that problem with a new one. If we think about the problems that we're dealing with right now, that's a totally different bag of problems than we were dealing with 3 months ago and 6 months ago and a year ago. And are we giving God glory for all those problems that He solved and then we just replaced them with a new one? Well, that fellowship with these other men that have a little idea of what we're going through, the fellowship with those men that have solved and seen problems solved far bigger than ours, they're able to focus our hearts and our minds on the fact that we got a daddy who's looking out for us all Amen. The time. Sure, is there one particular instance that you can think about where you had an answered prayer in this group that just helped open your eyes and helped keep you focused on our Savior?
Well, that's a great question, Bill. There's many of those prayers, but there's one instance, and Will's heard me talk about this, the obedience to the Holy Spirit, is that I think as believers that once we accept Christ and the Holy Spirit resides in us, that's our nudge. That becomes our guiding force internally.
Amen.
And one day I was on the way to China, and the limousine had picked me up for work, and I was headed out, and just a taxi service to pick me up. And God just nudged my heart and said, hey, you need to call your buddy. And he gave me the name I was supposed to call. I hadn't talked to him in several years. And I picked up the phone and called him, and he was thrilled to hear from me. And as it turned out, he was on one of these guys on the verge that was getting ready to check out. And he had already declared that was his next step and had already planned it out. And what I share about that is that if we'll be obedient to the Holy Spirit, we never know where it's going to go. And, you know, Oswald Chambers talks about we know not where the river touches after it leaves its origin. And I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but as it passes through us and it goes down river, we don't know all the things we're doing. But the Holy Spirit nudged me in that moment to call, made the call, and it was a difference in a man's life. These events continue to be instrumental in changing people's lives. God uses these events. And back to your point earlier, Bill, it wasn't us. It's all about what God's doing. And you mentioned something earlier when you talked about your daughter, and interested to hear how that worked out too, Bill, offline. But in Mark 2, it talks about when the four men took the paralytic to Jesus. They couldn't get through the door, so they tore a hole in the roof. But they had him on the mat, and a friend of mine gave me this illustration years ago as a band of brothers, is that at some point in time, we're all going to be on the mat, but we need those four brothers holding up each corner.
Amen.
If we don't have the four brothers to carry us, then we're sitting with no way to get to Jesus other than through our own vices. But that is so key in what we do every day, and how God uses each of us to impact somebody. We may never know what those seed plants are or what that phone call meant. Somebody may not share with you what they were about to do like this young man did with me, but it could be the very difference in life or death or eternity and or eternal damnation. So that's why it's so important that we are obedient to the word and be doers of the word, not just readers or hearers of the word. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's at the end of the day, Bill. We're trying to get men moving forward, and that's what this upcoming event's about. January 19th at First Christian, we've got four great speakers, professional football, ex-football player Tim Worley. We've got Dave Reaver, who many people know. Look him up online. Look both those gentlemen up online. Dave Reaver, former Navy vet. We've got two local pastors coming, Pastor Michael Thomas from Love and Faith in Greensboro and Benji Kelly coming from New Hope down in Durham. So it's going to be an amazing day. We appreciate everyone's prayers if you're not able to be there, but please pray for us. We're just excited to see how God's going to work.
That sounds awesome. I tell you, that's a great lineup. Your webpage address?
Is www.tawcmm. That stands for Talking and Walking Christian Men's Ministry. www.tawcmm.com. And you guys have got the event posted on Truth Network website as well.
Kingdom Pursuits, you can get more information from Robbie if you need it. Will, is there anything you'd like to add about the event coming up?
Well, Bill, I'd just like to, if we can, just pray for on the air for Robbie and his dad and the ministry as a whole.
Yes.
Would you please do that for us, Pastor?
Thank you very much. Father, we come to you right now in the matchless name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know, God, that all things that you take us through, we may not understand the reason why we're going through them. But we do understand that all things are in your hand. So we come to you right now and we ask that your hand be on Robbie's dad.
Mm-hmm.
Father, we just pray that whatever situation, whatever circumstances, whatever it is that the enemy is attempting to do, because we know no sickness comes from you. We just ask, God, that your blessed hand be with him and strengthen Robbie. Strengthen all those at Truth Network. Strengthen the ministry and all of the individuals who are involved in the ministry, wherever they are. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. We hope that you will keep Truth Talk Network in your prayers, that you'll keep Robbie and his family in your prayers, and that you'll tune back in next Saturday. Please keep the summit in the forefront of your mind.
Yes.
And we will pray for you and your families in this coming week. Thank you so much. Have a blessed week.